Good morning to y'all. It's wonderful to see you on a sunny day. And, you know, for me, I just enjoyed longer days. The longer, the better. Now, of course, if you're in a hot area, well, then you kind of like to have a few clouds anyway, so kind of give you some relief. But I like long days. And I look forward to the day we get to go in heaven. I don't think there's going to be any more night at that time because God himself will be our light. And the darkness will not be there. So that would be wonderful to think, you know, something we can think about for the future for us and stuff. This is wonderful. Last night, I was really forcing myself. I said, okay, 10:30, because it's going to be really 11:30. I'm saying 10:30, I just got to go to bed, you know, get ready to go to bed and stuff like that. And then I was starting to look at a clock. I was going, oh, no, it's getting too close. And so then I said, okay, I got to change the clock. So I started changing some of the clocks. And I said, okay, this gets me in a better mode. You know, if you don't change things, you know, it's hard to change, right? I mean, if you can't, you got to get something there. For me especially, I have to set something up and says, you know, you got to be there at this time or whatever it is, or else I just kind of start going every which way and I don't know where I end up. So one remarkable day. So we continue on in this story of Jesus's walk on this earth. And we're looking in Luke chapter 5, and we've already been seeing so many different things already, you know, how Christ has went against these temptations. You know, the enemy was trying to take him down, trying to cause him to really to seek his own will rather than the Father's. Jesus resisted that. He said no to that, and he kept on going. He chose a harder path. And as we kind of look at his life today, we're going to be coming across other things as well. Last week, we know we met Peter, Simon Peter, and you know, what was going on there was remarkable. And this all is taking place in one day. And But I'm not just going to be looking at this one scripture here, because I didn't want to have Steve go through the whole thing, because I thought it would be, you know, well, I care for Steve. I didn't know. I didn't want him to get too tired and fall asleep while he was reading the rest of the thing. But we are going to cover the rest of chapter 5 today. And what's called, it's, you know, and what we're looking at is, you know, getting used to things that are different, all right? And this is kind of backwards. You got your before and after. Usually it's to switch it the other way. But I said, I just love that picture because that's just, you know, that's just the way it is, you know. I remember, I don't know if you ever watched the series The Chosen before, what Jesus is talking about. It's a little series about Jesus' life. And at one point, after he talked with the Samaritan woman and she left to go to the village and things were going well. And, you know, his disciples are going, wow, you're just doing things so different. What are you doing? He says, well, get used to different. You know, Jesus changed things, changes lives. Get used to different is pretty much his theme. He brings new things into our lives. I still remember my brother's, I would say probably my oldest brother, probably more, maybe even my middle brother too, because he was the wild one, actually. So, but before, you know, they barely got through high school and stuff like that. I'm not even sure. I guess my middle brother did too. But, you know, their hair all kind of unkempt a little bit, or they don't care, and they're kind of, you know, kind of like this, kind of slouched over, kind of normal type guys and stuff like that at that age, graduating from high school, kind of like they barely got out type thing. And then, but when they chose to go to the Marines and they went through boot camp, and when they came back, I tell you something, they were thin, they didn't have too much hair, you know, and they were straight backed, you know, their posture was straight up. And I was sitting there going, wow, is that my brother? I don't think I've ever seen him look like that before. So there's, you know, just things change so differently. And we like, you know, there's things that are good, you know, when they change, they can change for the good. Of course, they can also change for the bad. And today we're going to be looking at a lot of good changes as well. See if I can get this new clicker. So we're taking at what is called like a panoramic view. I don't know if anybody's ever been to the Grand Canyon. Joy and I have spent 5 days, I think, there hiking around and stuff like that. But you get into these certain points and you get this panoramic view. You know, it's this big view. Instead of getting really close up or in something, we're just going to stand back. And for the rest of chapter 5, we're just going to step back and see this remarkable day, because this remarkable day actually started even with when Peter was and his friends were cast those nets out and they caught all those fish, and then Peter fell before Jesus. Well, that's just the start of this remarkable day that we're going to continue on as well. So we're seeing that Jesus, he was teaching with power and authority. And this was drawing. All crowds were coming to see him from all around, you know, because this is something new. There was something new happening here, and they needed to see it. He was preaching in a way that had life and power, and things were being done that they had never seen done before. And they're all kind of wondering, you know, who is this? What is this? Who is this person? You know, and then people were coming to him, you know, like Peter, who were falling down before him, confessing sins, you know, repenting before him. And people like Peter and his friends, like John and James and Andrew, they were following him. He called them, and he was following. So lots of things. He was taking that whole region by storm. You know, there's a lot of big things happening, and a remarkable, just a remarkable ministry starting off and moving forward. And we're going to take a good look at this today as well. We're going to be, sorry about that. Didn't mean to go too fast there. We're going to be looking at three guys in this next chapter here, and how they encountered Christ. And this life-transforming power that is in Christ alone. And let's pray before we go on this too. So give this to the Lord. Lord Father, thank you for the sunshine today. Thank you that we can come together again in your name and to be able to hear your word and to listen to your Spirit speak, Lord. We pray that your name will be glorified. We pray that you will teach us things that maybe we knew before, but we just need to be reminded, or things that just we missed, Lord. But we pray that this, what we learn from your word today, we'll be able to take into our daily lives and to live it and to see not only our lives being transformed, but the lives of the people around us being transformed as well. So we just thank you for this time. We praise you for it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Got to make sure I get around this sometimes. I'm hitting this correct. There we are. So the first one, here is the man with leprosy. And as Steve read that, we see that this leprous man, he was covered with leprosy. And if you really look at that disease a little bit closer, if it was real leprosy or if it was another skin disease, but when you're covered, that's usually kind of a bad case. Actually, most likely he was close to death. Now, the people who had leprosy back then were pretty much ostracized from society. They did not have homes, really, to speak. Maybe they lived in caves or whatever. They relied upon charity. They couldn't hold a job because they couldn't come into close touch of people. In fact, whenever somebody walked even close to them, they had to shout out, "Unclean, unclean." That was the law. All right, they had to follow that, not to protect other people from, you know, they thought it was a contagious disease back then. So their lives were really not very, very fun, right? I mean, it wasn't a very productive life, and they were, you know, really ostracized from society. Well, this man, he must have been at a desperate stage, knowing that now the leprosy was taken over, covering his whole body, and he really needed help. And he's probably heard about this Jesus and what's been going on. He's probably heard about the healings going on, and he's going, I'm going to go see Jesus. I don't know if he walked through to town or what, but when he met Jesus, it says here that he just fell face with his face to the ground and begged him. He says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Well, we can see that he had faith that Jesus could bring healing, can cleanse him, but would Jesus be willing to cleanse him? That was the question. I mean, he was so far gone, right? I mean, he's an outcast, an unworthy part of society. You know, who cares about him? Would Jesus care about him? Well, we see that he does. Not only did he care, but Jesus reached out and touched him, which nobody would do, right? Jesus' personal touch, we talked about that. He touched him and he says, I am willing. He says, be clean. And the next thing we know, the cleansing happens so quickly. It's not like take somebody's antibiotics for 3 weeks and then come back and see me, right? It's not like, you're going to have to go and see this doctor, and then you're going to have to go through this doctor, but you need to wait another month for this. Now, when he says, be clean, this man with leprosy was cleansed immediately, it says, immediately. That's the power of Christ. That's his words. He just speaks the word and it's done. That power of Christ transformed this man full of leprosy with his hands probably full of scabs or whatever else that were going on there into something that was perfect again, the way it should be, normal. Only Jesus can do that, transforming the life of this man through his very word. And so he goes back. And Jesus says, well, you know, don't tell anyone. Go and show yourself to the priest and offer sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. So Jesus had them do this to follow the Mosaic law, but also had them go back to the priest to be a testimony to the priest. Look, I'm clean. And the priest is going to probably have them sit there for, I think if you go back to Leviticus and look at how they do it back then, probably had to wait 7 or 8 days, and they would look again, are you still really healed? And if he, after that seventh day, if he was healed, then he goes through a cleansing process. And this is front of with the priest in present there and seeing this, overseeing all this. And so he's being a testimony to this priest as well, or priests, depending on how many people are involved. So they're saying, well, how did you get this healing? I can just see them, you know, talking, you know, how who did this? And he's saying, well, Jesus did it. And they're saying, well, you sit there for 7 days. We'll see if this really takes or not. And then they come back and go, oh, you are clean. And not only that, not only does he become a testimony to the priest, but he also, after he is declared clean, he's allowed to re-enter society again, to be with family, to be with friends, to get a job, to be a part of society. Victory, you know, a new start, a new life for this man. That's Jesus. He does that for each of us. He did that for this leprous man. Amazing. Next, we'll look at the paralytic man here. I'll read a little bit here. It says, one day as he was teaching, the Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. So Jesus' popularity was getting so big. Now the Pharisees and these teachers of the law had to go say, well, what's he teaching? And they go over there and they sit on a log and they're listening to him. And I can kind of see them there. They're just kind of going, they're not like, or they're not really you know, oh yeah, this is great. They're not like the other people in the crowd probably going, oh Jesus, you're awesome, you know, type, you're amazing us, you know, all that stuff. They're just sitting there going, what do you got, Jesus? What are you going to say? You know, I can almost see their faces kind of stern, ready to pounce. And there, next part of that, after that, it says, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. See, Jesus' power, you know, the Holy Spirit working in him and doing these amazing things, you know, is ready. You know, and to me, it tells me that Jesus is ready. He knows something's going to happen. Like the Holy Spirit, you know, he goes off. We know he goes off and prays often. You know, we know that after he healed the leprous man, he went off and he prayed. He took time to be with the Lord. He withdrew because, you know, the crowds are going to say, "Hey, we want more of you. You know, you're going to be the Messiah. You're the King. You're going to give us a political kingdom." You know, they're going to force him into that. You know, but Jesus is saying, "No, I didn't come for that." And so he withdraws himself, finds a lonely place, and he spends time with the Father. And I have a feeling the Father just saying, you know what's going to happen next? Just be prepared. There's somebody coming. Be prepared for this guy, because this is a big moment. So we look at this. This power is present. And some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Burp. You know, he's interrupting this message. You know, Jesus is probably into something, you know, but as Jesus, he most likely even knew it was coming. And as he just kind of went, yeah, all right, I'm ready for this. You know, so you're seeing all this power. The power of the Lord was there to heal him. You know, and there's a comparison even when you can look at the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who are sitting there. You know, Jesus had the power. They lacked the power. They didn't have the power. Their teaching lacked that. All they did was read the scriptures, and then they tried to pile on the rules so they can have people do what they think is best, and instead of following what the Spirit has for them. So the faith, as we're seeing here, these people, you know, they're carrying their friend on this mat, and they couldn't get through the door, so they go up on this roof. I can just see them. They're going, hey, you know, they might have a little hole, and they're already maybe to let some light in or something like that. They're just saying, how are we going to get this guy through? And they said, okay, we got to start taking this apart. You can just hear the discussion, and things are probably flying. Jesus probably had stuff flying on. Around him, stuff like that, and then they here's this guy being lowered down on these ropes, or maybe their belts. You know, they had some belts. They probably untied them and used them to lower this guy down, right in front of Jesus. And Jesus is there. And when Jesus saw their faith, and I believe it wasn't just the friends that he saw had faith, but he also saw the man on the mat had faith. He's probably the one that said, take me to Jesus. I can't get to Jesus, guys. You know, probably talking to his wife in that morning, you know, going, you know, I hear Jesus is here. I hear Jesus, but I can't go see him. Go get my friends. They can carry me on the mat. Let's go see Jesus. He's going to heal me. I can see that. The faith of the paralytic man and his friends is what Jesus saw. The Pharisees and the teachers of law began, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. He didn't just say, man, your friends are your sins are forgiven, but he said, friend. So he's addressing him in a personal way. And he's not even approaching the physical ailment as much as he is the spiritual issue, knowing that the spiritual issue is more important even than the physical issue of this man. But then, as we know, We see all of these things going on here that Jesus knows that all this, he can do either one. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Because they know what he's saying. They know what he's saying. Who can forgive sins but God alone? When we know how Jesus does things, right? He doesn't really just say, he doesn't say it plainly out most of the time. You know, he doesn't say, I'm the Messiah. No, he usually has people work it out themselves through what he's doing and what he's saying. And they're starting to put the pieces together like a little puzzle. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Well, they're right. They're right on. And Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Well, you already can see his divinity right there, that he can even hear what they were thinking in their own hearts. Which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. So this man, paralyzed, I don't know how long, all right, and when you're paralyzed, you can't work. You can't do much. You're just kind of just somebody that other people are taking care of. He leaves his house on a mat. But after he comes in the presence of Jesus, his power, his transforming power, he walks home carrying his mat. Back into society, back into his family, being a part, once again, somebody that can work again. New start, new life for this paralyzed man who looked like he was just going to be laid out flat for the rest of his life. Amazing how God changes things. You know, even a leper, when he went out that morning, you know, he didn't know, but he was seeking help, seeking Jesus. But when he returned a different man, just like this guy, on a mat, going to see Jesus, returning home, walking again, living again the way he was supposed to. The power of Christ transforming their lives. The next one, Levi, the tax collector, is a little bit different. Okay, these two, the man with leprosy and the paralytic man, you know, they gained something, right? They were in trouble, and Jesus gave them something to help them start a new life, right? To be changed. But Levi is a little bit different. It says, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi. Well, if you know tax collectors back then, and maybe even now, are hated. They were hated because they were traitors. They were Jewish people, but they're taking money from Jews to help the Roman government. What do you think that's about? It's like somebody getting a little, setting up a booth, and they have a little Russian hammer and sickle on her and say, hey, you got to give to Putin. You know, you got to support this guy. I don't think I'd do that very easily or be happy about one of our people out there doing that. Exploiting, a lot of them, you know, were cheaters. They took too much, they took more money than they should, and they became wealthy. So this tax collector, Levi, and his other name is, do you know? Do you know what his name is other than Levi? This is Matthew, okay, one of the guys that wrote one of the Gospels, all right? So he was a tax collector, And Jesus, I don't know if he knew, he probably heard about Jesus, but I don't know if they ever met. It doesn't say anything like that here. But Jesus just walks up to him and says, he must have saw something in Levi. And he said, follow me. Well, what did he do? Jesus, looking at his money, I got to finish this up and maybe we'll talk a little bit later. All right, no, he didn't do that. Jesus said to him, Jesus said to him to follow me, Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. It's kind of like a no-brainer. It's kind of like, I don't know, maybe he was just done. And he knew when he saw Jesus, maybe there was, you know, the presence of the power of who he is. Not just the healing power, but his presence must have been so powerful, so influential in Levi's life that when Jesus said, follow me, he said, sure. I'll leave all the riches behind, my job behind, and follow you. I think that's rather amazing, actually. New start, new life going on. Someone now who can invite friends over to join and have a dinner with Jesus, you know. You only invite friends to have dinner. And that dinner must have been filled with a lot of laughter, a lot of joy, a lot of, you know, people asking Jesus questions, wanting to know more about the kingdom of God. You know, there's a lot of wonderful things going on in here. New life, a new start for Levi. And Levi brought these people over because they wanted his friends. He didn't want to just be alone. But he wanted his friends to have a new life and a new start as well. So then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees, here they come. Oh, those Pharisees. Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Well, you know where they're going. They can't even see the joyous moment of what's going on. And they're saying, well, what is he doing? You know, your guys are hanging out with these sinners. Jesus answered them, not even, you know, they were asking the disciples, but Jesus answered, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. See, the Pharisees and teachers of law thought they were okay. Right, they're walking their own self-righteousness, and Jesus knew that for them, you know, it's going to take a little bit more for them to be able to have a new start and a new life. But he's telling them plainly, hey, these guys need a savior, and I am the savior. I got the cure to their sickness. Here I am. And in his power, Levi and whoever else here started a new life. Change. It's wonderful. A new paradigm going on here as we look at this next section. Here it says, they said to him, and I think these are still the Pharisees talking, they said to him, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking. So they're just kind of wondering, why are you guys partying all the time? You know, you Jesus followers, you guys are happy and you're living it up. What is that all about? You know, they think that, you know, you have to have all these rules and you have to be like a Marine and you just can't walk one way or another without asking for permission. And you certainly can't smile or laugh or be joyful. No way. Because you got this heavy burden of all these rules and do on we put on your shoulders And you're going to be, if you ever read Pilgrim's Progress, you'd understand that big bag that he was carrying on his back, heavy. Couldn't wait to get rid of it, to unload it. That's what these Pharisees and teachers of law were putting on these people. And they were wondering, you know, you should be serious. There shouldn't be any joy. And Jesus answered them, can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days, they will fast. See, there's celebration. You know, here's the Messiah. Here's the bridegroom. And you're not going to be, you know, sullen and, you know, like that. You're going to be rejoicing with the bridegroom on the day of the wedding. Rejoicing. And not the other way around. And these guys just couldn't seem to understand this. And he told them this parable. He says, no one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it in an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for he says the old is better. Well, you can see it, right? You can see what's going on there. There's celebration, and they're kind of way, no, you can't celebrate. You can't be happy. What are you doing? And Jesus is saying, you can't sew me in like a patch. This thing I'm doing, this is a transforming thing. Life transformation is happening here. I'm making you new. And if you resist it, it's like you're being torn apart. You're not useful anymore. See, you haven't caught up with a new paradigm yet. See, these people are stuck in a Mosaic law, which is fine if they just stuck there, but then they open their hearts to what was to come to fulfill all that, and that's the Messiah. See, but they put on their own rules as well and pile it on because that's all they could do. They were without the power of the Holy Spirit, so they had to keep on thinking what man thinks, traditions, using traditions and regulations and laws and all that stuff so we can try to make ourselves look good and make ourselves presentable to God, that I can do these things and God will accept me. I can live this way and I will get into heaven. And Jesus is saying, burp, you got the buzzer out, burp, kind of like Bruce going back there at the end of Sunday school, burp, Randy's going, oh, he did it again, right? He's putting the buzzer on him saying, guys, a new thing is coming. Open your hearts. A new life, a new start for you is happening for everybody. But we're not doing it the old way because they can't fit together. And the people who really cherish those old ways, they're not even going to look at the new ways. They're just going to go, oh, no, I'm sticking with my old wine. It's good. It's good enough. But Jesus is saying, this is more. This new wine gives you life. Life everlasting, abundantly. So the two are meeting, the two paradigms, the Pharisees and teachers of the law, and Jesus, the Messiah. No wonder why he had trouble with them, right? They just couldn't handle the new things going on. Well, how about us? You know, you look at that remarkable day. That was just one day, right? That whole chapter 5 is just one day in Jesus' life. I tell you something. Jesus, if the Holy Spirit wasn't with him, there's no way he could have made it through that day. I just feel like he just had so much coming at him and walking from this place and that place. And you know, I'd be tired. I'd have to have a nap at some point. But it didn't look like Jesus did, except for that one point when he went off on his own. Maybe that's where he recharged his batteries. But are we ready? Because we have, like, you know, these ministries starting up into the community. You know, you got the Easter egg hunt coming up on the 28th. You got the Easter services coming up. You got VBS, and probably in early June. You probably, hopefully, even have a children's ministry starting up in the fall. You have the elders coming together in a life group that's looking to reach people who do not know Christ. You have a lot of ministries going on, but are we ready to be with Jesus and have our lives transformed by him? Are we ready for that? Because it's like, it's that commitment. Like, remember what Levi had to do, right? Jesus calls. It's not like you're going to go like this. No, Jesus just, he keeps moving, right? You can miss your shot. And then you have to wait wait for another time when Jesus, you know, feel that tug in your heart, the Holy Spirit just saying, go, go, go. There's a door open for you for ministry here. They need help. Be a part of it. Be a part of it. You know, go and pray. Go and support in this way, that way. Be there. You know, help them in one way that God will have you do. Listen, he's the one that transforms our lives. Sometimes he can take that little bit and make it such a blessing, not only to you, but to the people that you're ministering to. You know, just opening our hearts. Be open. Be ready. And join. Join what he has. Because I tell you, if Matthew could leave all that stuff behind, we can leave our stuff behind. And we still have our jobs. He lost his job. Except for maybe pulling some coins out of fish mouths or something like that, like Peter. That's about it. We still have some of our lives that we can maintain, but Jesus is calling us. Be ready. Have your life transformed. Join in what he is doing. Be a kingdom builder. See, we're so used, and I can look at my own life. I'm talking about myself. It's so easy to just want to build your own kingdom. This is what I'm doing, and this is where I want to go, and this is how I'm going to get there. Thing is, we use all of our resources and time and energy on that. We forget about something that's more important. It's called kingdom building, God's kingdom, which is not just a temporary kingdom, and it's not a kingdom that falls apart when a storm hits or health concerns happen or we lose our money. No, it's a kingdom that lasts for eternity, and nothing can tear it down. See, we invest our time, our resources, our energy in what? Why do you tithe? Why do you give your offerings? You know, think about it. I do it because I want to see God's kingdom built. I send money to some of our friends in Thailand. We'd send that to support them and their kingdom building over there amongst the Thai. You know, so we need to really look what he has for us and to join in and to know that we are to be kingdom builders for God, God's kingdom. And as we remember that passage there in Matthew 6:33, as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first, what happens? All those other things he will provide for us. He knows how. He's got the resources, right? Are you ready to love, accept, minister to those unclean? The paralyzed, people who are fearful of going places because of COVID or paralyzed for other reasons that happened in their lives, unclean because they have been filled with addiction to this or that, or just have lived a life without God and have had many consequences enter into their lives and the lives of others, hated people with bad reputations, people made mistakes, maybe, you know, they said some things they shouldn't have said, they gossiped or whatever, and they have a real bad reputation. Are you ready to love those people, to accept and minister? Because that's who we're reaching to. And we're reaching out to them, just like us. We have to remember where we were when people reached us, who prayed for us and encouraged us, right? They're no different. They're just at a different point than we are right now. But we are to minister to them and be ready to do that. When they start coming through the doors, are we ready to take them in like a brother or sister and to walk with them, spend time with them, listening to them, encouraging them, praying for them, inviting them? Are you ready to hold those joyous celebrations like Levi when he got a new start, a new life? Are we ready? Not just sitting there on a log going, num, 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 you know, sucking on a pickle and face all soured up, stuff like that. No, they're walking forth in joy. We got victory in our lives. We got everlasting life as an inheritance. We got the power of Christ within us. We should be joyous people, not going like this, walking in life like that with no life, no power. You got life and you got power. Power to pray for one another, and you got life, everlasting life. Right here. Holy Spirit moving. Let's be joyous. So people, it will become so contagious. People say, I want to join your party. I want to join your, come and be with you on that day that you're going to hunt for Easter eggs. That's fun. I want to be a part of something joyous. See, a lot of people are walking in darkness and there's not much joy in their lives. There's a lot of hate, a lot of fear, a lot of anger, a lot of disappointment. Invite them. Celebrate. Watch Jesus change their lives as you tell them about who he is. Share what he's done in your life. And see them start a new day. Have a new day and a new life. A new start for them. Oops, one more. And as they said, all those people are probably, I don't know, maybe they spent the whole day of Jesus walking with them too, all this crowd and stuff like that. They might have seen it, you know. It said everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. I want to say that right here. I hope you do too. I think we'll see these things as we come together in Christ's name and reach out and follow his lead in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father God, again, we come before you thanking you for your word. Thanking you for these examples, Lord, of your power working in the lives of normal people, changing them. They're not the same. They went out one way in the morning and they came back a changed person. Oh, Lord, Father, do that for us again. Renew and refresh us, Lord. If we have kind of gotten into a pattern of life of just not walking in a joy of the Lord, not noticing you working around us and in us, Lord, or not even looking for opportunities to share your good news with others or pray for others, Lord, I pray that you just start us anew. Start us up anew even now. Remind us of the goodness of who you are, the joy that we have in you, the new life, and that we can go forth in that new life and share that with others, that our lives would be powerfully transformed to be more like you. And Lord, so we can be a blessing to others, so their lives would be transformed to have a new life and a new start as well. Thank you, Father, for who you are. We praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all of his people say, amen. Thank you.